Enterprise Management 360, your main source for tech news, analysis, podcasts, and videos for the enterprise.
Welcome to the EM 360 podcast, where we have a weekly conversation with people who are impacting the enterprise tech landscape. My name is Wayne Eckerson, and I'm the president of Eckerson Group, an internationally recognized thought leader in the data and analytics field. Today, a major change facing data leaders is to figure out what kind of cloud data platform to use and where to run key workloads to optimize costs and manage data residency. To help address those challenges, I'm joined today by Mark Cusack, the Chief Technology Officer at Yellowbrick, to discuss the rise of private data cloud and how Yellowbrick is leading the charge. We'll explore Yellowbrick's unique value proposition and how it empowers businesses to unlock the full potential of their data. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Wayne, good to see you.
So to start, could you address how you came to Yellowbrick and what your role is there?
Absolutely. I joined Yellowbrick around about 3.5 years ago, but my involvement in the data analytics space goes further back than that. In fact, before Yellowbrick, I was an executive at Teradata, where I ran the data warehousing product line there for a few years and came to Teradata by way of an acquisition of a startup that I was one of the co-founders of called Rainstore in 2014. And we founded Rainstore back in 2004, and I've been in data warehousing for all these years, but my background actually is in theoretical physics. So I did my PhD, so come from a strong scientific background, but have wandered through the analytics ecosystem and landscape over the years.
Great. Well, let's dive into Yellowbrick and what sets it apart from other data cloud solutions in the market. What would you say are the top key differentiators of your product?
Yeah, actually, I think, Wayne, it's probably worth actually just talking a little bit about what we mean by a data cloud as well. And the way I like to frame it is it's a part of the natural evolution of data warehousing to support new data types, new use cases, and new ways of addressing analytical problems to support business value at the end of the day. So what I like to describe a data cloud as is a unified data platform, typically in the public cloud, that's elastic, separated compute and storage, and has all the agility that one has come to expect from a cloud data warehouse. Now, if you think about sort of private data clouds take the notion of a data cloud one step further, and you're talking about a unified data platform that can be deployed not only in public clouds, but also in a customer's own data center in a private cloud as well, even potentially at the network edge. And I think really Yellowbrick kind of is unique positioned in the market by really being the only modern data warehouse and data platform ultimately that can do this, that can deploy wherever a customer requires their data analytics to reside based on data sovereignty or governance or residency requirements. So we are really supporting a hybrid multi-cloud approach and making the ability to go beyond the traditional sort of classic, highly structured relational problems that databases have been solving for the last 50 years or so, to encompass new data sets, more semi-structured data, and even vector embeddings to support generative AI. So I think that's really how we stand aside and apart in the market.
Well, that's really fascinating. So what would you consider is the ideal customer profile for a hybrid multi-cloud data platform, as you said?
Yeah, I think it's for customers that want to take back control from SaaS vendors in this space. And again, you could go on a kind of a historical journey from where the data warehousing has evolved over the years, far in the past we had sort of databases deployed on custom hardware with a lot of complexity involved. If you go back sort of 30, 40 years, and the pendulum swung all the way over where we've made data warehousing as simple as possible by abdicating responsibility to manage data analytics to a third party, to a SaaS vendor. And I think you lose a high degree of control over your data and ownership over your data. And so the kinds of customers that really like the solution that we're proposing are customers that want to retain full control over their data and where their data is located at all times. They want to retain ownership. So we have a strong growing business in the federal space, for example, as you can imagine, within healthcare, within financial services and insurance, businesses where you've got highly sensitive data. Data subject to GDPR, CCPA, all of those other kind of privacy standards out there. So I think that's kind of one element of it. It's just placing analytics and data at the point of need. And I think where we're also helping within this market is for customers that have runaway data warehousing costs. And I could go on for hours about the problems of margin stacking in SaaS vendors and how they're basically reselling cloud infrastructure back to you at a premium at the end of the day. And I think we think at Yellow Brick there are far more effective and efficient ways of consuming data analytics in public cloud than a lot of SaaS vendors would give you credit for.
So you not only provide more flexibility and control, as you said, but it sounds like you also provide lower costs in terms of the processing.
It is. And it's actually an interrelated concept here, because Yellow Brick does not provide its software as a service. So when customers take Yellow Brick, they take the software solution and install it directly in their cloud account. And that might sound like you've got a management complexity and overhead there. But what we've done is automate the entire installation experience, the day one, day two operations around running Yellow Brick in your own cloud account, so that you don't need an army of cloud operations people to run this stuff. What that really means from a cost perspective is you are paying your cloud provider for the infrastructure that runs Yellow Brick, and you're paying Yellow Brick on an on-demand basis or subscription basis for running the software and the compute that you consume to do that. What that means, you're saving costs, because any discounts you get with your cloud provider, you can apply those to running Yellow Brick. Yellow Brick is not marking up the storage in your cloud, not marking up the compute. And so we're able, through our go-to-market model, to help drive down the costs. And I haven't got into the kind of intellectual property and the implications around the product itself that allows you to do a lot more with a lot less cloud hardware at the end of the day.
So ultimately, this is a solution that people can manage themselves, but if they want to run it on the cloud or even on premises, I assume you actually help automate a lot of that. So the question is, what kind of resources and how many do you need to run Yellow Brick wherever you decide to run it?
Yeah, and it's a kind of an interesting problem when you think of what we're trying to deliver here. We're trying to deliver a modern, cloudy data warehouse experience and deliver that anywhere, whether it's in any public cloud of choice or on-prem. And, you know, what we've been helped by is new developments, or I've said developments over the last 5 to 10 years in containerization of software, in orchestration of container-based software. All of our solutions are based on Kubernetes. And so that provides us out of the box elasticity, cloud portability, and resilience for running these solutions. Now, if people are familiar with Kubernetes, they might also argue, well, Kubernetes is quite a complex piece to manage. And I think that's where we've placed a lot of investment in, is automating and abstracting away the details of Kubernetes from a database administrator, so they don't need to know about helm charts and pods and things like that. Kubernetes is working in the background, driven through SQL that Yellow Brick has created an API around Kubernetes to give the elasticity, the bursting capabilities, et cetera, that you'd expect. So I think it's our investments in modern underlying container orchestration and masking that away from the end user that has really helped here, to the point where you really don't need cloud operations teams to run this stuff. It just runs itself.
Yeah, so this is great. So we've talked about that your product, the value prop, it gives people control, it reduces costs. But maybe the one word we haven't really talked about that may be absolutely key to why customers buy you is portability, or lack of lock-in, right? Because you can run anywhere as opposed to all these other more popular cloud platforms that can run in just really in one place, typically, at least, you know, they're offered by the cloud infrastructure company.
And I think that, in a nutshell, encapsulates the difference between a private data cloud on the one hand and a data cloud on the other. A data cloud is something that ties you into one cloud provider or one SaaS vendor that runs in the public cloud. The private cloud data cloud idea extends that to being able to run anywhere effectively, right? So we have customers that not only want to run Yellow Brick on premises and in the public cloud, they're even talking about running at the network edge as well. And we want to provide the same software, the same experience wherever they want to deploy that. And of course, customers' plans change over time. They may start off on-prem, they may go to the cloud, they may decide for cost purposes that some of that workload should be repatriated. And we can give them the flexibility to know that their workloads will run in the same way wherever they deploy this stuff.
So how many of your customers, or what percent would you say actually run Yellow Brick on premises? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I would say around half our customers are running on-prem. And what's really interesting, again, it just kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent, because it's all very well me saying that I think there's a market need for this. You know, we're also seeing recent surveys that are telling us that, you know, if you look at sort of, there was a recent survey from Nutanix that said basically the top four drivers for IT decision makers, CIOs these days, are cybersecurity, data residency, data sovereignty as one, the ability to kind of deploy on-prem and at the edge, as well as in the cloud as another. So over the next 1 to 3 years, I think there's a growing demand to say, I want the flexibility to control costs, to control the locality of my data and analytics. But what we're actually seeing amongst our customer base is, you know, a healthy growing pipeline of new logos and expansions on premises on the one hand, and a rapidly expanding growth of new logos with our software only public cloud offering. So we're seeing sort of growth in from both directions. And so I think our own pipelines are backing up what some of these sort of recent surveys are saying around where the demand's going to be coming from in the next 1 to 3 years.
Interesting. So you mentioned the edge. What percent of customers are using you on the edge?
It's small. It's small at the moment. It feels like, actually, when if you think about kind of IoT and analytics, it feels to me, it's almost like that kind of nuclear fusion problem. It always seems to be 5 to 10 years out ahead. But it's interesting, we have a couple of customers in the federal space and in manufacturing that are interested in putting Yellow Brick near the edge for analytics in a ruggedized form, and then collecting and running localized analytics, say, close to production line, so you can do production line reconfiguration based on tactical decisions that are being calculated at the edge, and then replicating that data using our inbuilt replication capabilities to a centralized cloud-based Yellow Brick for doing long-term descriptive analytics over the history from the production line.
Yeah, so it is interesting. The edge is always on the edge of adoption, right?
It feels that way, yeah.
But you obviously have some really interesting use cases there. So the last question, what percentage of customers have multiple instances of Yellow Brick, especially if they're on different platforms or different...
Yeah. You know, I again, sort of the vast majority of our customers are on some sort of journey to a multi-cloud or hybrid cloud future. And so we went to market first with an on-prem solution. And so what we're seeing is our customers in some cases deciding that they're going to lift and shift and move into Yellow Brick running entirely in the cloud. But more often than not, they're doing that on a slower piece-by-piece basis, workload by workload. And, you know, we're very, very, you know, because we're running the same data warehouse in both locations, and we can replicate data between the two, moving workloads back and forth across clouds and on-prem becomes very easy. So I would say the vast majority of our customers have some involvement with Yellow Brick solution in the cloud today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so let's talk about futures, because this market is evolving quickly. Where do you see the market going and Yellow Brick's role in it?
You know, I think the way that, and it really, I can't talk to this a little bit on the last question. I think we're seeing demand in our own business for more deployments in a hybrid stance, both either because customers are on the journey to the cloud, or they're already adopting a hybrid approach because of the sensitivity of some of their workloads and they want to keep them on-prem, or they want to place them in data centers for which there is no in-country public cloud presence. And that's very important, particularly look towards, say, the Middle East, for example. There are data sensitivity issues where data cannot be held outside of a particular country, but there is no public cloud provider serving that country. And so we're seeing expansions in use cases in that area as well. And as I said, these surveys are really pushing that towards a future where data sovereignty and protection is important. The ability to have data located on-prem at the edge and cloud is a key decision driver as well. And I think Yellow Brick is kind of uniquely positioned to provide CIOs with a private data cloud solution that satisfies these kind of emerging requirements.
So the private data cloud is growing in popularity versus the on-premises, but as well as a hybrid, right? So you can run multiple places at the same time. That's got to really help your systems migration efforts, right? Is to keep those in sync.
It does. I think it really helps to de-risk buying decisions as well, because, you know, we have a lot of customers that want to modernize their stack on-premises today, knowing they've got an easy on-ramp to the cloud of their choice in the future, and even a multi-cloud solutions. You know, and you see this a lot with large enterprises that go through different acquisition phases as well. Every company might have the good intent to centralize all their IT operations within one cloud provider. When you start to acquire different companies, they might bring a different cloud into the picture, and things don't change and get normalized overnight. And so I think what customers really value and enterprises value from Yellowbrick is this ability to de-risk these concerns. They know that they'll be able to run their workloads in Yellowbrick wherever they wish to.
Yeah, with our consulting clients, you know, we see them wanting to modernize, but they're kind of locked into an on-premises environment, and migrating to the cloud is just a daunting experience because usually it requires re-engineering everything. But in your case, you can re-engineer on-premises and then gradually move, as you said, different components up to the cloud as they're ready. So that seems a very profitable thing for companies to do.
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes the way it works is that they'll bring in a small deployment of Yellowbrick next to their existing on-prem system, peel off a couple of the key workloads, get the end-to-end data integration and the links to the downstream apps in place, and then kind of continue to do that until they're running in parallel, and then they can switch. And then they know they've kind of gone through a piecemeal sort of modernization of the entire stack and know that they can just take that and apply to the cloud when the time's right.
When you run on premises, do you have specific hardware that it runs on, or is it generic?
We do today. So we provide a turnkey solution that includes our hardware and software on-prem, but it's the same software that runs within Kubernetes in the public cloud as well. So customers don't have to be concerned that we're presenting different versions of the software. The core database software is the same everywhere.
Cool. All right. So let's turn to the topic of the day, which is Gen AI. How is this going to impact your go-to-market strategy?
Yeah, well, I mean, any self-respecting technology company these days has got to have some point of view around generative AI, of course. But, you know, what's interesting actually is a lot of our point of view is driven by what our customers are asking us for as well. And our customers are asking for more exotic data types that absolutely fit within this kind of data cloud model. They want to be able to use Yellowbrick as a vector store in their retrieval augmented generation processes to, you know, inject additional knowledge into LLM prompts. And so we've actually already made some progress in this direction, and quite recently open sourced a module to the LangChain project, which allows Yellowbrick to be used as a vector store alongside the LLM of your choice. And so that's freely available for anyone to download and play with. And we have Jupyter Notebooks online and tutorials to show you how to sort of set that up. And I think we've got a very, very exciting roadmap of where we're taking Yellowbrick in this use case of around vector store in the future. And people often ask, well, why would you want to add vector store capabilities for similarity search to something like Yellowbrick? And it's, of course, you know, a lot of the crown jewels of the data for an enterprise is already in Yellowbrick. And oftentimes you want to be able to create embeddings for that and use that to, you know, enhance your interactions with chatbots and things like that. And going the other way, you know, there's a growth of voice to SQL, text to SQL processes, and, you know, we want to be able to support the other direction, you know, where I want to ask a simple question like, based on the performance of my business over the last 5 quarters, what can you forecast about the next 2 quarters, and have that manifest itself as analytics running against Yellowbrick to get the answer. So I think we're sort of been doing a lot of work in this direction. I think we've got some really, really exciting and very innovative stuff that we'll be releasing later this year around event storage stuff in particular.
So you're not only hybrid, you're not only multi-cloud, you're also multimodal. So
that's the way of the world, and that's really what the private data cloud is all about.
Okay, last question. What, you know, given all that we've talked about, it all sounds really great. Why would people not choose Yellowbrick? I'll give you a parting shot here.
Yeah, that's good. I think we're particularly well-kept secret in the industry. We have a lot of customers that are very, very happy with their buying decisions around Yellowbrick. In fact, if you look at our NPS score, I think it's into the 90s, our NPS right now. So I think we have satisfied customers that are buying more, are expanding with us both on-prem and in the cloud. And I'm glad I've been given the opportunity to chat with you today, Wayne, because this is a way of getting the message out and encouraging people to come onto our website, play around with our free online version of Yellowbrick today. Come chat with our customers as well. And we'd love to speak to new folks.
Well, terrific. Thanks for talking about the best kept secret. Hopefully it's a little less a secret now. So
I hope so. Very good.
Well, listen, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you coming on. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope you took a lot away from today's podcast. For further information on what we've talked about, and if you want to learn more about Yellow Brick, just go over to its website, yellowbrick.com. We'll be back next week with our podcast series. Until then, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on all major platforms and follow the conversation on our socials at EM360Tech on Twitter and LinkedIn. And for more great daily content, head on over to EM360Tech.com.